I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life.
What a joy it is today to be able to share with you the Word of God. We're going to be looking at several verses today, but we're going to start out in John chapter 7. In John chapter 7, in verse 1, it says, "After these things Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him." Now, Jesus caused division wherever he went. And we see that in this chapter that the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. Now, people sought to kill Jesus. These Jews hated him. In verse 11 of John chapter 7, it says, "Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, 'Where is he?'" And that's the question today. Where is he? No man or woman, having once heard of Jesus, can any longer remain indifferent to him. That person must take some sort of interest in the Lord Jesus. Now, I'd like for you to consider, first of all, the ways in which the question has been asked. Where is he? And in our present chapter, it was asked in hate, ferociously desiring to slay him and overthrow his cause. And as we think back, we think of Herod. Herod was of this sort, a person who wanted to kill Jesus. In Matthew chapter 2, it says in verse 1, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews?'" Now, Herod heard these things, and in verse 3 of Matthew chapter 2, it says, "He was troubled." And later on, the Bible goes ahead and tells us in that chapter, and it talks about him sending out a decree. In verse 13, it says, "And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Arise and take the young child and his mother,'" speaking of Jesus, "'and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him.'" Herod wanted to know where Jesus was at so he could kill him. He hated him because someone had dared say that he was a king. Then we see those people who ask the question, "Where is he?" Infidelity, sneeringly denying the existence of our Lord, taunting the followers of Christ even today because his cause does not make any progress to them. In their minds, nothing is happening according to what has said is going to happen. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4, it says, "And saying," and these people are saying, they're tauntingly saying these things, "and saying, 'Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation.'" There are those people today who say, you know, "You Christians, you've said that he's coming back. Well, where is he? How come we haven't seen him?" Well, they haven't seen him because they've never trusted him as Savior, first of all. And prayerfully and hopefully, if you're one of those people today, you will ask him to come into your heart. You will be those who are fearful, sadly, not doubting his presence, not doubting his power and his prevalence, not just simply having a general existence of just floating along, but you will not be that individual who says, "He's promised so many things, and you Christians, you've said he's promised these things. Well, where are they? Where is he?" Prayerfully, you're not one of those people who are going about taunting Christians and saying, "Where is he? Where is the promise of his coming?" You need to understand that the Bible is clear that he is coming back. When he comes for those who have never trusted him, he's coming back in judgment. He's not coming back as that lowly child born and placed in that manger, as we've read back in Matthew chapter 2 and the other scriptures that tell of his birth. He's not coming like that, but he's coming in judgment, in vengeance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. We're not promised tomorrow, but now we must make a decision and we must say, where is he? Where is the Lord? In Job chapter 23, verses 8 and 9, it says, behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. Is he hiding from you today because you hate him? Is he hiding today from you because you have an indifferent attitude? Or is he there? Is he ready to help you? And of course, the answer is yes. He wants to let you know where he is today because he is the Savior. He said, I come to seek and to save those who were lost. Job 23:3 says, oh, that I may know where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I pray that you pray that prayer today if you've never prayed that. Well, where is he? We need to look at what the saints say about this. According to the Word of God, he is at the mercy seat where we cry in secret. That's how we can go to the Lord in prayer and unburden our hearts as saved people. He's at the mercy seat. He's in the Word as we search the sacred page today. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth according to 2 Timothy. He's in the furnace of trial, revealing himself, sanctifying the trial, bearing us through the trial as safe people today. He's with us. Many people are going through a trying time, especially right now. But the Lord says, I'm there with you. I'm in the fire with you as I was with those three Hebrews in the fiery furnace. I'm walking with you today, and I want you to place your trust upon me and place your trials, your tribulation upon me. That's where I'm at. He's near us. He's with us, and he's in us as children of God. And now I return the question to you. Where is he in your life? Is he at the bottom of your trust? Is he at the root of your joys? Is he on the throne of your heart? Is his presence magnified in your spirit, your words, and your actions? Is he before you today? Is he at the end of your journey? Many are at the end of their life today, possibly listening to this program. Is he there at the end of your journey? Is he there as a person in your life, as that person who is not at the end of your journey, but you have some days to go that you could be serving him? Is he there? Is he the conclusion towards which you are daily hastening, no matter how old you are? Are you living for the Lord? Where is he in your life? Well, we could ask the angels where he's at. And they will with one voice reply that the Lord Jesus Christ is in the bosom of the Father. John 1:18 says, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. God has declared Jesus Christ. The angels would say with one accord, he's in the center of glory. He's on the throne of government. Isaiah 9:6 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And verse 7 of Isaiah 9 says, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Where is he? Is he in the manger? No, he's not in the manger. Is he the little child in the arms of his mother? No. Is he hanging on the cross? No. Is he in the tomb? No. Well, where is he? He's risen from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15:20 says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept." He is saving today and interceding. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25 says, "Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." Jesus is alive. Jesus is coming. He can come into your heart right now if you will simply say, "Lord, I'm willing to turn from my sin. I know I can't save myself. I want you in my heart. I want you there so then I will know where you're at. You're there with me. You're in my heart. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me today. I want to go to heaven. I want to please you. I want to serve you today. I love you, Lord. I want you as my Savior." Now, if you'll pray that prayer today, the prayer is not going to save you. It's the heart. It's what you ask. It's what you believe. It's when you ask Jesus to come into your heart and you realize you can't save yourself, you're saying to him, "Lord, I want you. I want you to be my Savior." If you'll pray and ask him today, he'll save you. He will come into your heart. And if you are a Christian today and you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, you're on your way to heaven, but you're not living for him. Where is he today in your life? Is he prevalent? Do you serve him? Do you pray? Do you win souls for him? Are you serving him in any way? You need to bow your head and say, "Lord, I'm sorry I'm not serving you right now, but Lord, I want to serve you. Help me. Help me, Lord, to be able to serve you more today. Help me to be able to serve you more tomorrow than I have in the past. Thank you, Lord." The Bible tells us that we as Christians need to be serving God today. And as an unsaved person, you're not promised tomorrow. What is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Today is the day of salvation. Ask him to come into your heart and he'll save you. Well, it's been good being with you today, and I trust that Jesus is with you. Where is he in your life? Our website, lrwm.org, is a good place for you to go to download this program once again and listen to it. And you can also go there and get a transcript of this program free of charge. You can write to me, Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731, and I'll be glad to send you a transcript of this program and others of It's a Good Life. LRWM.org is a good place to start on the internet, because you can also go there and you can email us, you can leave prayer requests, you can go there and find Bible study helps. There's all kinds of things listed on that website that will help you as a Christian and as a person who's searching, who wants to know more about Jesus. Thank you so much for being with me today, and until you hear me say this, it is a good life. May the Lord bless you richly, is my prayer.